All right, Dieter and Hutch, live and in landscape mode, and only landscape mode.
That's
here
right.
Today. We could have done this yesterday. It would have been immediately negated, totally upended, worthless, a waste of time. In fact, it kind of almost feels like a little bit of a waste of time now. There's still moves that need to be made with this 49ers roster, but we have a 53, more or less. It doesn't have a long snapper, but there's a 53, Jake.
Yeah, I mean, frankly, I'm not going to do the victory lap thing because it's like guys are losing their jobs. Yeah. But aside from O-line and Braden Willis, I got everything pretty spot on.
You did.
I mean, we'll go position by position here in a sec. But yeah. There weren't that many like real competitions. There was nothing like that crazy for them to really do here. I think Luter maybe surprised people, but he's not good. Like,
yes, he's not good.
Theoretical guy who just never produced, and I don't know why you had to keep him around and they didn't. So
it is a little bit surprising that he was the very, like, the Raiders had the first waiver spot and they're like, we got to use it on this guy. Not that they couldn't use it on everybody, but they Clint Kubiak's looking and saying like, oh, I know that guy. It was,
but they
really
also
easy
just
yards.
Played him and he had a good preseason game, so that's more coincidental than him being like the first claim, you know.
I'll just say I'm not in any way upset about losing Daryl Luter. It is a gunner job that is open now, it should be noted. And second, it's not as if they were feeling gung-ho about Ephesians Prysock, right? So when you had a practice not that long ago where both Green and Diamador Lenore were out and Luter was in, he was next up on the chart. Yeah. So now that's Ephesians Prysock, whether you like it or not. Jack Jones and Ephesians Prysock are the backups. You have Nate Hobbs
and Saran
on
IR. Neal, I guess, is in there somewhere too.
I stand exceptionally corrected. Saran Neal, the lockdown god himself. I asked in the last stream, did Saran Neal kind of fuck him here? That or he might have saved him. Who's to say? Let's take a look at sickos.football and just check out where we're at now when it hangs out with the 53-man roster. So there's a little bit of chicanery that still needs to happen.
You want to zoom in a little bit for the folks?
I mean, I guess. It's pretty big on my screen. Here we go.
There we go.
And we'll talk through it for the audio listeners.
That's right.
First somewhat surprising thing, at least to me, you didn't find it surprising, is that Curtis Rourke, 53, no fuss, no muss, no chicanery or tomfoolery necessary.
Yeah, I mean, like, they want a backup quarterback for next year, and it's him. So I get it. And it's like if they decide, hey, at some point, do we want to just trade Mac? Does somebody get really desperate at the deadline? They won't do that. They'll hold on to him until he, you know, nets them like a compensatory fourth round pick next year. But I don't, it's not a shock at all to me. Not to say I'm the greatest believer in Curtis Rourke. I thought he was good. I was impressed. I wasn't wildly impressed, but again, I was kind of surprised by the Brock Purdy thing initially. Like, I didn't see that much from him in camp. He was kind of showing out in closed door stuff during the season as it went.
He was bitching in that preseason game against the Vikings.
Right, but like he had lots of ups and downs. He definitely was like bawling and fearless, but there was like an element of like, does this matter?
Also, Nate Sudfeld sucked that preseason.
Nate Sudfeld, remember? Yeah, Nate Sudfeld.
He's the man they cut, and they paid $2 million to say, hey, we're keeping this Purdy kid in. Thank goodness they did.
They're paying John Weeks $1 million to say, hey, hang out on the practice squad for a sec.
We'll get there. In theory, we would get there at the end. I'm not going to make it that long, so we'll get there sooner rather than later, my friend. Running backs, nothing of note or interest.
Nope.
It's exactly as we noted with Isaac Garendo. It costs you nothing to keep him around. If you keep him on you can keep him on PUP in perpetuity. You can just stay on PUP forever.
They might. They might.
And they might. Okay, so it's going to be Black, James, and McCaffrey, Sincere McCormick. And just for the record, in case you don't know, and trust me, this is one of those things you have to look up all the time, you can get 3 practice squad promotions per season for a player. That is, of course, very important when it comes to the 49ers long snapper.
I think you can get more than that, but you have to cut them and then it resets, is how
per
I remember that word.
Per contract. You're right. That is exactly right. It's per contract. So if you want to get really funky with it, go to town.
Yeah.
Kyle Juszczyk's the only fullback. Okay, tight end. You were, I wouldn't say upset, but nor were you flabbergasted, irked, perturbed.
I didn't think they needed to spend a roster spot on Braden Willis. I think you could have put him on the practice squad pretty easily, given that they have cut him in the past and he has been available on the practice squad in the past. And he's more of a Kyle Juszczyk backup than he is like a tight end backup because he can't block in line. He's got some, you know, he's got some athletic ability.
It's a good hang.
Again, I get it. You need a fourth tight end, but he's not really a tight end.
Yeah.
Kind of, I thought.
Listen, I don't think Braden Willis has fundamentally changed at all. I do think he's been better in this camp.
Sure.
But that doesn't mean that he's fundamentally changed. It wouldn't shock me at all if he is cut rather soon. Not like this week or next, but this is maybe just a we're going to go to Australia. We're not going to dick around with this. And then once you know guys come off the PUP, right. He's the next guy up, or even before that.
You need a fourth tight end with the Kittle situation. I get it. I completely get it.
Because you're not playing Dinkins. You're not playing.
I just think like maybe go sign a big body. I don't know.
Yeah, I am also a little bit surprised that the Niners, and they did, they added a center. I'm a little bit surprised that they weren't more active in the lead up to cut down day with trades for 28 picks, you know, something like that, player for player swaps. I was just surprised that they didn't bring in other players. And we'll get to the wide receivers here. Evans and Stribling, yes. Debo and DeMarcus, sure.
Yep.
Watkins makes the team. Pauling to the practice. Oh, I'm sorry. You're right. Cowing right there in the middle there. Cowing makes the team. Watkins makes the team. This was also our prediction in that Kirk would go to IR. It wasn't going to be, they weren't going to pick Hodge over either of these two guys, if nothing else for pride purpose.
Yeah.
It is interesting. Malik Turner's not on the practice squad as it stands.
I find that interesting as well. I also think it's interesting. The Buffalo Bills picked up Greg Dortch. If it were me,
damn,
I'm being honest, I would have been hunting Greg Dortch. And I know we've kind of made it a bit, but like Greg Dortch is a legitimate like NFL caliber player. He's small, but he can return punts. And I
what is it that Jacob Cowing has that Greg Dortch wouldn't give you with the pedigree of actually having done it?
I would take Greg Dortch 100 times out of 100 over Jacob Cowing in literally every situation. If it were me, again, this is how I predicted. This is exactly how I thought this would go, except for Malik Turner not being on the practice squad, but he's hurt, so maybe they give it a second, add him later.
Right, right.
I love Malik Turner, but Kadarius Hodge has been a great special teamer and all that.
Yeah.
I just, if it were me, I would have jettisoned probably both of Cowing and Watkins. I understand why you don't.
Yeah.
And just picked up a guy like Dortch who can like return punts and has been in the league for a while. That's how I would have handled it. But I also get these guys have been in the system. Hey, we haven't really seen them. Maybe they get their 4 weeks to figure it out while Kirk returns, all that. And hey, we got Will Pauline on the practice squad to maybe theoretically do something. I don't know.
I'm also a little bit surprised that there's not a lot of love for Cedric Tillman out there as it stands. I would imagine that he's more injured than the Browns let on. But I don't even know if he's visited a team yet. I think Cedric Tillman would have been an upgrade. I agree with you that Greg Dortch would have been an upgrade. Cowing will play. Watkins won't. So I don't see the upside of not getting weird with it other than a pride thing. And frankly, there's a lot of pride stuff that's happening with this roster as we move forward. Wesley Grimes getting to the practice squad. That doesn't surprise me. I think that they like the possibilities there. They just have to teach him how to play wide receiver, which seems like a longer term.
I watched him running in, and it felt like I was watching it in slow motion. It's really, his footwork's really bad.
Yes. He does not know what he's doing, but he is one hell of an athlete. Then again, they kept Jaden Duggar. So, you know.
Yep.
This is where it gets real O-line weird.
Is where I got some stuff wrong, but it also like nothing was totally surprising at all, right?
I guess. I mean, all of it after about three players became well within the realm of possibility. I want to start with this. Both Brett Toth and Nick Sakel go on season-long IR, not designated to return. Toth is on a two-year deal. Am I correct in that statement?
Let me check that out. I thought check it was a one-year deal with a bunch guaranteed. I think it's maybe a one-year deal with like the thing where it's dead money. No, it's a one-year deal.
Okay. Okay. Let me pull it
back.
One-year,
$2.5 million.
Okay. Let me pull this back. Why are either of these guys on season-long IR?
I would say it lets you theoretically, it makes it easier to keep them in the building if you want to keep them around.
For next year only, though. They cannot play this year.
Correct. Unless it's so weird. The only caveat, I think, is if you come to like an injury settlement. I don't know if that applies, though, in this situation. But like DJ Reed would have been one of those situations, and they came to an injury settlement, and then he went to Seattle and had like a really good career.
Right.
I don't want to be, you know, speaking sideways, but like, yeah, Brett Toth, I think they went, all right, well, we guaranteed him $2.5 million.
Right. He's
very
getting the money.
Strange. Very
strange. This is
what
strange. I'm saying.
No
it's
one
a bizarre
asked about
move.
It.
It's very, and I would have, but I got to pick up kids. It's super bizarre with Toth because he had a concussion early in camp. Yeah. They basically kept him out of camp for the entire time. I'm not going to in any way say, hey, you know, a concussion isn't a big deal. It is, but they are certainly not going to use him designated to return. So he didn't have a spot here. If he doesn't have a spot here, let him be free. Let him play football. It's a little bit of an indictment for me on both of these guys. Like, you cannot play football at all this year. And if you're Nick Sakelj, who they cut in camp, let wallow for like, pardon the pun, for like a week and a half, if not longer, and then brought back. I don't quite get it. I do think that this is probably right from Nevin. There's probably a procedural thing, but they cut dudes all the time with injury settlements.
Yeah,
so,
rules are, I think they'll eventually come to injury settlements with them. Either way, it's a very strange situation. By the way, I found your extra guy. It's Drake Nugent, who's on the practice squad.
Apologies. Sorry, that was a Freudian thing where I just refused to accept it. Yeah. No.
But Bob Jones sent into the ether.
Just absolutely annihilated, like it was Bob Jones in Pass Pro, just sent to the nether.
They gave him a lot of chances, and he went, I'm fine. I'm good. I don't want it.
It wouldn't shock me if Bob Jones came back. Let's put it that way.
Bob Jones, the return.
I don't think there's a lot of people like, yo, Bob Jones is available.
Jones in for Bob.
Jones in for Bob. You ask for the Jones, you get the Jones. The Sakel and Toth thing is bizarre. And again, a kind of an indictment, unless it is a purely procedural thing, which I bluntly don't understand.
It might, and maybe it helps them get out of some of Toth's money. I don't know that it does.
I guess.
Very strange.
Very bizarre. Okay. So
that was the weirdest thing that wasn't talked about this offseason, where it was just, he just was never like involved. He had the concussion and it was sort of like, he doesn't exist.
To the point where I thought that they were going to work out some sort of a deal so that he could retire, but get some money on the way out.
And then like Nate Hobbs was similar. Nate Hobbs made the roster, but like just injured the entire time, guaranteed like $3.5 million or something.
Fucking Bob Jones is injured. They just cut him. Why are these guys not getting cut? Sakelj, they literally have cut this year. Why are they cut him? And it's like, oh, we want to keep him in the building. For what? Like, they can't practice with you. So it's just very bizarre to me. It's also completely...
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, right.
But
like, why am I...
strange.
Very bizarre. Very bizarre stuff. Okay. Vidarian Lau. I don't see any current indication that Vidarian Lau is like going to be ready to play in Australia, but I guess they're betting on that because otherwise your backup tackle is Enrique Cruz.
I understand why they kept Enrique Cruz. They simply like they need the numbers. I think more than needing the numbers, they are stubborn.
Yes.
And they spent a 5th-round pick on him and he's athletic and they said, we can still do something with him. He's getting better. And he was improving.
Sure.
No question. Certainly improving. Granted, he was one of the worst players I saw practice for like weeks and weeks and weeks. So it's good that he's improving.
Yep.
And maybe he becomes an NFL player. I still am highly dubious that can happen.
Correct.
Because he's not good at football right now.
He's nope.
Certainly not. But
I would like to remind everyone he was a rotation player at both Syracuse and Kansas.
Maybe he's their fourth tight end.
Maybe. I don't think that works either. I haven't seen enough to be like, oh, that'd be kind of fun.
Yeah. Listen, I get it from a numbers perspective and from a stubbornness perspective.
Yeah.
He's not a good player right now.
No. No. And
he's not an NFL player right now. He's not a player worth having on a 53-man roster right now. And I understand why they did it. And that's not even me trying to be snarky or harsh. It's just factually speaking, he's not. And maybe he can get there.
Maybe. And listen, it'd be one thing if they were doing this under the guise of, listen, this was always going to be a red shirt year for him. So we got to keep him on the roster. Like, we could have gotten weird with it, but like, we have a plan. He's going to hang out with us. He's going to practice with us every day. He's not going to be a practice squad guy. There's obviously differentiations in how many reps you get as a practice squad guy versus, in this case, second string. It'd be one thing to do this if there was insulation and you're just carrying him to carry him. You don't have, and again, Lowe can come back and be ready to go, but like, you don't have a backup tackle because Austin Pleasance, who is probably both your best left guard as it stands and your backup swing tackle, as
it's not encouraging,
is a IR designated to return. You use that one on him, which gives you the indication that Lau is closer to returning. Lau doesn't matter. There's a lot of them that play in the National League Central and also here. But
he's got to be good within the next 4 weeks to have it really make sense. Or they're just going to say, listen, we don't care how your ankle is. We are going to have you somehow active for these games, and we're just going to shoot you up, and we're going to sacrifice you.
Also, it could be like Carver Willis. You know how we said we were never going to play you at tackle? You're now a tackle.
That's
Carver
bleak.
Willis is just, his head is like, God damn it.
Can we briefly talk about, before we move on, Kyle Shanahan, perhaps the only semi-vaguely, remotely, theoretically interesting thing he said was truly, honestly, seriously, no, really, truly, truthfully, we haven't decided who our left guard is, nor have we decided who our backup running back is. And no, I promise this is the truth. Truly, truly, truly.
Buddy, we know. I can't even believe it was a question. We all know that. I mean, Mayoko comes in and he hits him with the 1-2. I do think that backup running back is a misnomer in that there are specific roles that they want. Like, Kalon Black will. Yeah, but like, they know Kalon Black's going to get stuff there. The left guard, like, I think that they know, but they don't want the answer.
What he means is that they haven't had an official discussion yet to settle them. They kind of know, they just haven't had the talk. That's how I interpret that. And they don't want, and I think, like you're saying, they don't want to have that talk.
No, I think that they are waiting. And this has been the case at actually many positions. You say there hasn't been roster battles, but there have been men fighting themselves for a job that they've been handed, doing their best to not win the job. I'm thinking of Jordan Watkins in specifics, but like Carver Willis, you give the benefit of the doubt to Carver Willis in that he's never played in the NFL before. So you don't want to be like, hey, buddy, just take the job. It's like, that's not given. That's not a presumed thing for someone to come into the league and take a job. But they're like, please take this job. And he's like, you know, it's a little too soon for me. Connor Colby, they gave the job to coming into training camp. And he's like, what if I embarrass myself so much that you change your mind almost immediately? Which I didn't even see. Like, I wasn't picking up what was being laid down there. But it's pretty impressive that, like, pads go on and they're like, nope, nope,
what's evident,
this one's broken.
What's evident is that nobody actually won the job.
Correct.
No one did anything for them to say, he won it, clearly. They're going, oh, God, I hope, well, whoever looks the least horrifying over the next couple weeks, I guess we'll try it. And remember, I'm not going to take a victory lap on roster cuts.
I think you should just take the goddamn victory lap.
I will take a victory lap on them being completely way too optimistic about left guard. The entire offseason, I went, when are they going to address this? Are they going to address this? And they went, we're so much smarter than you. Don't worry. We signed Bob Jones and we got Connor Colby and Carver Willis. And maybe it all works out. And maybe long-term it works. I was just like, when are you going to invest at left guard and actually make a play for it. And of course they didn't, because they're so much smarter than everybody.
I mean, I got a mea culpa. I thought Bob Jones would work.
You were hot to trot on Bob Jones.
I was hot on Bob. I had that Cowboys tape up, and I'm like, oh, this ain't good. But then you get on that Dolphins film, and you're like, look at him. He's looking for work. I love this.
No, there was some good tape. It just didn't happen.
Speaking of tape, they acquire Jarrett Patterson. Did they trade for Jarrett Patterson?
Future next year's seventh round pick.
Wow. 28 seventh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which
okay. It's
actually not, I mean, it's
sure
not nothing.
No, and they can probably get it back in
he doesn't
in a
move well, I'll say that.
I love him. He's a stump chuggins, though, to steal your term. Like, he really, that some bitch can anchor. If they could somehow not let other teams know, they could just switch out centers, and, like, if it's a pass pro where Brendel's like, oh, God, help me, I'm going to die.
He might start at left guard, frankly. There's a world where he starts at left guard.
I'd give him some run. Why wouldn't you? Let me just verify on the Patterson trade for the 49ers what it was.
Sorry, I said next year, like this year. It's this year's seventh.
27-7th. Yeah. It's rich, but we live.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
Okay. Well, that just tells you how desperate they were, because a 27-7th is equivalent to like a 26-3.
It's also when you're trading for a lineman from the Texans, just never a good sign.
A depth one that the Texans are like, yeah, we're good. And it's like, oh.
Which is like, do you remember when Khalil Davis?
Yes.
It's the Khalil Davis trade all over again. At least this is a backup O-lineman where you're like, okay.
I actually didn't mind him. His as you noted, sure. his shortcomings, he's just a stumpy gentleman. His shortcomings are evident in that he gets like to the second level in his own block, and it's like, now all bets are off, buddy. I got no idea where
he's
I'm going,
like,
what
he's
I'm
waddling
doing.
Out there. It's tough.
It's a tough look, but he does seem to be on top of things. Like, he doesn't seem rushed as a snapper of the ball, as a center. And then he can anchor a little bit now. Can't really do much else, but he can anchor.
Yeah.
So something to keep in mind. Maybe that matters for when they play Seattle in week five, or, you know, the Broncos in week four, or the Rams in week one. But, you know, not that big of an issue. Well, actually, they run a tight front with a zero tech. So maybe the Cardinals in week three. And I don't even know what the Dolphins are going to run, but they're going to be throwing some weird stuff at them. So this might actually matter a whole lot. And I guess
it's not important.
It's not important.
Should we hit defense real quick?
I think we absolutely should. And we're going to burn and churn through the defense, because there's just not that much that was shocking here. I was a little surprised that Okoronkwo didn't make the 53 to start and instead is on practice squad. But if you can get him on a practice squad, go to town, because he's
going to get bumped up for the first 3 or 4 weeks, and maybe he makes it to the active roster, maybe not. But he's going to be here. And the second somebody sniffs around to add him to their roster, they're going to find a way to put him.
Right. I think that's right. And that's the other thing, too. There's going to be a good deal of, like, these things a lot of times take care of themselves in that, oh, you got a guy on the practice squad, but you probably want to bump him up because you don't want to do those, you know, designations all that often. Like, guess what? And week one, you're going to have like four dudes who are like,
somebody's going to get hurt. They're going to have more guys go on IR in the next 2 weeks.
Both West and Collins made it. I don't think that was ever in question.
No,
that they were both going to make it.
I asked people for their thoughts on West, because I was seeing him lumped in with Collins, and I was just curious. And our commenters were a lot more reasonable than the usual online folk.
Well, we know that to be the case 9 times out of 10. It. There is that 1 time out of 10 where the sickos can't be tamed, and you know, we have to take that with it. And honestly, I appreciate it. Keeps us on our toes.
Yeah, is Bryson Eason. Get picked up by the Chiefs, and that was the thing. It's like, you actually can't really take 6 D tackles with the scheme they run. And they're just, he was clearly, in my book, like the 54th man. You want to find a way to keep him, but they just couldn't. And I think he might do well with KC. They love a big stumper.
Yeah, we literally said it to a T. Like, they cannot keep him. He's probably going to get picked up. I'm a little bit surprised it was Kansas City and not a team like Miami. There's, you know, those teams that were picking very early in the draft, they're always very active with the waiver wire. So I'm surprised that, you know, Kansas City didn't exactly have a great season last year, but I'm surprised that they had a spot for him on the 53. And I think maybe the Niners were a little bit too. But that was the risk they had to take. Valdez to the practice squad.
Makes linebacker, sense. They kept the seven, as I predicted. And then Martin goes on IR, which, don't worry, they're still...
Oh, no, they love him. They
don't
love
worry,
him.
Guys. We're still really excited about Nick Martin. No. Look in my eyes. Trust me. We mean it.
Yeah. I want to make sure that it goes in the newspaper that we're very excited about him. I don't... Do you think Nick Martin plays a single snap this season?
Yeah, I do. I do.
Okay.
I think there will be other linebacker injuries, and he'll find a way.
Yeah. Something also to note. So Luke Gifford is on. No one ever asks a question about Luke Gifford, so we'll just find out if he can play or not.
I saw him jogging. Didn't look great, but he's working back from something.
I was a little bit surprised that Tim Ryan, after the broadcast on Thursday, suggested that Tatum Bethune was on the cut line. And obviously, he's not a certain safety player, pardon the pun. But like, I thought he had been very good in camp outside of kind of being a dipshit in the joint practices and starting fights.
Yeah.
But
I mean, he thumps. If nothing else, he's got some thump to his game.
Him and Wallo both make it. Dre Greenlaw is going to be on like a two days on, one day off.
It's going to be one day on, 5 days off. That's how he's going to practice.
Yeah, they're going to cage him until the weekend. D'Amador Lenore, Jack Jones, Renardo Green, Upton Stout, Saran Neal, and Nate Hobbs sort of. Oh, and Ephesians Prysock. That means Daryl Luter's out. We mentioned it off the top.
Yeah.
I'm a little surprised.
I'm also a little surprised because they had injury. Like Prysock had an AC joint, and Green's had an injury, and Stout's had an injury. And I was like, maybe they'll be stubborn and keep him. Nope.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Okay, safety. Malik Mustafa is going to practice this week. That is an update that was just given. Ashton Davis is on the roster. So he was signed to the 53 today. You could feel either way about that. I'd imagine that he had somebody else who's like, yeah, we'll take you. And he's like, oh, yeah, okay, I'll go over there. Because they cut him in sort of the Thomas Morstead Memorial hangout for a day sort of thing. But yeah, Siegel and Brown are going to be your starting safeties. Malik Mustafa's, we'll see if he can play in Australia or not. And then Ashton Davis.
I mean,
Davis
you could stop there. We'll see if he can play. It's feels like he's just one of those guys that's too like muscly. Like it's just everything's like too
it's tight. Yeah. It's tight. He's a tight guy. That said, I do think Malik Mustafa would be a very interesting Sam linebacker for this team.
I would love it out there. I would love it. I mean, listen, I'm a huge Malik Mustafa supporter. Was not good last year, but never quite looked comfortable. And the safeties didn't really. The whole secondary was not super stoked about Bob Sala.
I will just take a moment to lament the end of the restraining order. My favorite nickname on the team.
It was incredible. Incredible.
Now he's traveling to a different town. Okay.
Awesome.
Waitman with the nominative determinism of hang out for a couple days. Nailed it. Everyone saw it coming. Not saying we were the only ones, but like that is something they just do now. And their contract was set up perfectly to do it. More power to them. It worked out great. John Weeks being a member of their practice squad as it stands is bizarre.
Them just saying we're going to just throw $1.7 million away. So that way we can keep like Enrique Cruz and Jordan Watkins and all of the guys they love to keep. Again, moves I understand, but they didn't. They paid a price.
Yeah.
Like Weeks was guaranteed like $1.2 million. So like that money is gone, which is maybe how they're trying to recoup it by saying we're not giving you a real salary until
we already paid your ass. Get on the practice squad.
Yeah, exactly.
He'll be up sooner rather than later. I think it just seems like one of these things that they'll do.
Like Greenlaw, where they're going to unleash him in week one.
I think it's because
put him at center against Aaron Donald. Aaron Donald's not getting through John Weeks.
No, he can go over him. He can literally jump over him, but
he might
in the process. Nothing there. The Weeks thing is going to be hilarious. Just on a day to day, just
it is disrespectful. I said they wouldn't do it because it was disrespectful, and I was joking. I didn't think they would do both. I didn't think they would do both. They really did the bit.
Shout out to Kawachipto, who called it in the comment section. He's like, absolutely, this is what they're going to do. And damned if they didn't do it. They paid a heavy price to stand on their priors and not admit defeat. Let's do some questions. here we go. 49er Hal, losing Eason and Luter is maddening. Also 49er Hal, incredible. Incredible.
Awesome. Yeah.
It's 10 out of 10. You will go on practice squad, yeah, or I will.
I think
you
you're
going to
be fine
squad
without Luter. He never did anything. Like, it's
positively. He never did anything.
Theoretical
positively.
Player. Eason, you might regret, but they always have. In, for a team that drafts poorly, they always have a late round or undrafted free agent that other teams want.
It's true. It's true. Or at least they're willing to give more of a shot. Whereas the guys that they draft, the Niners are the ones giving them shots.
Yes.
God help us if Cruz ever sees the field. Feels like someone went to him and said, your ankle must be pretty sore, right? Wink, wink. And he just didn't take the hint. Yeah, maybe.
It'd be awesome if he starts. They're like, no, he's our starting right tackle. Colt McKivitz has been benched.
By the way, it is not noted.
Cruz missile.
Colton McKivitz had an unbelievable camp. Colton McKivitz is leveled
the
up.
Most quietly just good player. Again, people just hated on him years and years ago, and it's gotten quieter because it's just like, oh, he's actually totally fine and the most appropriately paid, super cheap right tackle in the league. He's the best deal at right tackle in the NFL for this year and the last 2 years.
I think at the end of the season, you can make an argument that he might be the most underrated player in football.
Hey, now.
Hey now. Okay. F it. Let's see Cruz versus Donald. And let's see. That's why you keep Curtis Rourke on the roster. You're going to need all three of your quarterbacks for that game.
Yeah.
Keep him as the emergency. Do you guys think the leaks about Watkins being cut were the team firing a warning shot at him or just typical speculation? I don't know of any leaks. I was told flat out that he was not guaranteed a roster spot. Maybe I'm the problem. Maybe I'm the leaker.
Yeah. And then I think they went, well, if it comes down to like players that we like need to catch a ball, he can run the right plays. So
can he though?
I don't know. I think
didn't run that nine route. Consistently lining up in the wrong spot. Our friend Anthony Negatani, Dieter, what are you hearing about Bosa? He'll play. How well? We will find out. This is a good one for you, Jake. Why is Kasera so well regarded? This is from Steven.
I think because I want to say Steven also had a comment here about Arden not getting the most out of Arden Key. He absolutely did get the most out of Arden
Key.
That's flat out false. He was great. And I think he mentioned Amenahu too. Like, he does do really well with those guys. Sam Okwuanu was just like an undrafted free agent. And it's sort of like Chris Foerster, right? It's like taking a mediocre guy with sort of an interesting skill set and getting the most out of them. But he does it at a level, I think, maybe above Foerster, where it's not just surviving. It's like, oh, this is actually a tradable asset that we have to use. I think some of it's overblown. I do think he is a good coach. I think his scheme of getting upfield when you don't have the players who can like hold up, you just get a lot of guys getting blown out of holes, like trying to get upfield, getting tossed asunder. So I think he's overrated in terms of like his affinity for his scheme, but that also means that, you know, when they have good pieces, they can get upfield and have been explosive. That said, hasn't happened in years past. They haven't had, like, they haven't produced. But they've also been wildly injured. So
there's, he's very good at getting the most out of a three tech and a five tech. If he didn't have a nine, which is Bosa, he'd be dead. And he has not gotten enough out of a one at all. So right side of the defensive line, he's got it. He can handle the strong side. It's the weak side that's been the problem. And I'm fascinated to see how it manifests this year with more five-man fronts and how well he does there. Bryson Eason, this is our good friend JC. Bryson Eason on the Chiefs and Enrique Cruz is on a journey to bending machine repair. Listen, again, long-term project on Cruz.
Is he the truest repairman?
What was it?
Is he the truest repairman?
Oh, there it is. This is the room temperature room. And that is the end of the stream.
Check out the description.
And go join us in the Survivor Pools on Splash Sports. We'll be back very, very soon to break down all the weirdness and chicanery. Adios. Oh, I clicked the wrong button, Jake. We can't end.